You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein, and today I have with me Natasha McCray. Welcome.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm so excited to be interviewing you. It sounds like we do similar stuff in our professional lives.
Yeah, I saw your love sign and I was like, oh yeah, I have that in my office on the other side. It's like a smaller one, but that is so cute. I want to take it.
I think it was Etsy. I don't know. I don't remember, but yes, we are definitely on the same page. So you guys, you are in for a treat today. I'm going to read to everybody about Natasha first, and then we're going to hear her story and just get into lots of amazing topics about how she helps people, what she does, how she inspires people, etc. So Natasha McCray has seen and experienced self-doubting, negative mindset, and overall imbalance in work and life that keeps women from reaching their greatest potential. She developed a system that allowed her to design the life she really wants. She now coaches others to design their life exactly how they want it, with more love, confidence, and work-life balance. Through the development of her one-woman show, Evolution of a Love Addict, several years of counseling, and serial entrepreneurship, Natasha turned her life around and elevated herself from love addict to love CEO. During a successful national tour of her show, which included an audience talkback sessions, she encouraged women to face their fears and step into their life's purpose. So all of this just so, so wonderful. Before the how you do what you do, tell us the why, tell us your story. How did you get into this work?
Wow. So I had such a hard time with love growing up. I would always attract the wrong kind of guy. I didn't really know my value. It was horrible. And it stems back to when I was 15 and I found out that I had twin brothers who were not my mother's children, but were my father's children. So you can put two and two together. My father had an affair and he had twins. That was wild. And so at that moment, I can pinpoint that's when I started seeing guys in a different light. Mm-hmm. I felt like all I would get was the disappointment. So I was in a great relationship with a very trustworthy, honest young guy at 16 or 15, how you can be in that type of relationship. But I was, and I just decided to break up with him. Mm-hmm. I decided to cheat on him. That was never even in my consciousness. And after that, every single guy that I attracted into my life, they all looked the same. They were just in a different body. And it was the guy who let me know what I was going to get up front. We know, we can see them a mile away, that they're going to give you heartache, that you're going to have to be asking questions. You just know exactly what you're getting. And I chose that because I didn't want to be blindsided. And it was very painful. So I found myself being a love addict. Mm-hmm. You name it. If they show it on the movies, that's how love is supposed to be. In an hour and a half, you're in a relationship, you're out of the relationship, you break up and then you get married and have kids all in an hour and a half. And I found myself constantly looking for guys who were going to be this romance. And then the minute any sign of dissension showed up, I would just kick them to the curb, or I kept dealing with the same riffraff day after day, year after year, decade after decade. And that's why by the time I was 30, I was married and divorced twice. Mm-hmm. I'm now in my final marriage, which came after therapy. I call it AT, after therapy. Yeah.
I love it.
And then I wrote a one-woman show about that entire process. And I met my husband after he saw the one-woman show, which was wild. Yeah. I was just like, you saw my show and you want a date? I gave them all the insider info. So
can you tell us about the show, first of all? Mm-hmm. And So he saw your show. How did he get to your show, first of all?
It's so crazy. So I was preparing for my show. It was New Year's Eve. I walk into this New Year's Eve party with my girlfriend, and we just figured we're going to New Year's Eve hop. And we were both on the whole dating prowl at the time. We were just dating, enjoying dating. And so we went to this party, and he's there. And I asked him where to put my jacket. I was like, do you know where to put the jacket? There was no one else standing around, but it was a party, and there were people there, and it seemed like the atrium just emptied for us. And yeah, it was so bizarre. And so he told me where he thought I could put it. And then I just buzzed off into the distance and was talking to other people. And my director happened to be at the same party. And my director said, oh, you should meet this person. So I said, oh, and I went and I said, oh, I've met him. So we started talking, and then I invited him to my one woman show. And it's so interesting because he didn't even call. Like, he got my number, but he didn't even call. And I wasn't even thinking about it because I was out there dating. It was so bizarre. Yeah. And so he got invited to my one woman show from me and my director at a New Year's Eve party. And so fast forward the New Year's Eve party, fast forward 2 months, and he was at my show and talking to my family. And I never even talked to him at this point.
Okay.
Never so talked to him.
Did he come up to you after the show and say,
yes,
hi?
Yeah. So I'm buzzing around talking to all who have come to the show. And I noticed he was kind of lingering by my family, but he happened to know one of my family members. And so then we talked, great show. I'm glad you came. And that was it. And so then fast forward 2 weeks, actually fast forward another month. And we both got invited to a happy hour a friend was having. And I remember he was so nice. There were no seats. He was at the bar. He gave me a seat. And I said, oh, this guy's great. And I left there and I called my girlfriend. I said, that guy who came to the show and never called, he was here. And I said, well, I guess he's not interested, but I felt there was something. And the next day, me and my girlfriend went to have coffee. And I said, you know, I think I'm ready to have a serious relationship. And I was seeing several different guys at the time. And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to hand out pink slips. Cause I don't know if anyone listening knows that weekend thing where you text some, you're like, I don't have a date yet. So let me just put the bait out. You know, you're texting people, how's your weekend? You know, how are you doing? And someone's going to say, hey, you want to get together? You want to do something?
It is a numbers game. Yes.
Yeah. It's a numbers game. And so I was just about to put out the filler text. And I said, you know, I think I'm ready to be in a relationship. And no one I was dating was very relationship material, but they were all amazing guys because it was after therapy. So I was just taking in who these people were and having a fabulous time meeting them and, you know, sharing experiences with them. But at that point, I just said, I think I want to be in a relationship. And so I didn't send out that text. And I went home and was hanging out, and he called and said, hey, my friend's having an opening for a restaurant. Would you like to come with me? And I said, sure.
And so when was all of this?
This was all in 2012.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was 2012.
And then you got married when?
Then I got married in 2014.
When 2014?
June. 6/14/14.
I was married May 17th of 2014.
What? We're just like, yeah, month break.
We'll have like a double date celebration for,
I know,
9, right? Next year will be 9.
Yeah. Next year will be 9.
Okay. So congratulations. This is amazing. I love your story. So
thank you.
Take us through how you help people. You get clients. How do you empower them? How do you work with them?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like the richest place in the world is the heart of the woman who's next to me. And I felt like I wanted to be what I needed back when I didn't know my value, back when I'm a single mom. So I was on that rat race and always tired and always working and never taking time for myself. And everyone, you know, I was doing things for them and wasn't really doing things for myself. And so when I did my one woman show, I had Q&A after the show, and I'm thinking they're going to ask, well, how long did it take you to write it and who directed it? But the questions that came up were, how do you forgive again? How do you get back dating after divorce? Mm-hmm. How do you forgive your family? How do you find yourself when you've lost yourself after relationship after relationship? And so it turned into group therapy. And at that point, I knew my mission was always to encourage and empower women through all forms of media, being an actress. And so I would be returning emails late at night, like 2 a.m., and telling them what I did and the things that helped me and the books that I had read, you know, thousands of hours of therapy and books and power, you know, empowerment workshops. And at that point, I knew there was a need. And so I began coaching. And the very first course that I created was called Loving Yourself to Love. And so I basically took the steps that I did in order to get off the hamster wheel, out of survival mode, and really back into authentically loving myself, because that's when you become that magnet. And so that was the very first thing I did when I first started my business. And then that turned into private coaching, because I found that the women, once they were off the thriving and off the hamster wheel, they wanted to do more in life. And they wanted to figure that out. And they needed help figuring that out. And God gifted me being a masterful strategist. And so we'll sit down and uncover your deepest desires and authentic goals and just get into ways that build your confidence, but also design the life you want. Because we can look at other people's lives, but it's not exactly what we need. It can be this, you know, you can say, hey, I'm starting a coaching, and one person is, you know, coaching 50 hours a week, and another person has automated courses. Like, it just depends on what you personally need. So that's how I coach. And so fast forward, I created another course called Date Like a Boss. And then over the years, I found that us packaging together all of the courses seemed to be a better fit for my clients. And so I started a membership community. This membership community helps women get back in touch with themselves, learn what really real self-care looks like, and then as well as connecting them to their goals and dreams and keeping it in the forefront of their mind. And so we have this beautiful community where there are the tools that they have access to without feeling that overwhelm of, I got to take a master's class on how to do self-care. It's like, no, let's implement this into your already busy schedule. Let's create a lifestyle around it. So I help women create a lifestyle of self-care, awaken that love by using the love intelligence method that I teach, and staying the priority in their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you're making it so you don't have to go from 0 to 100 in a second. And that's the work that I do as well. You know, if you look at therapy, counseling, coaching, if you look at it as daunting or something, if you look at it as work, you're going to resent it. But if you look at it as just a beautiful flow, you're growing, you're evolving, and your awakening is going to happen. And just to trust the process, then it will happen so much more authentically versus you have to do this, you have to do this in this timeline.
Yeah. That's a little tough, because I was trying to get into, you know, workshops and stuff like that. And it was like, okay, you have to do this and that. And I'm like, let me calm down. I need to get my head around what my new life's going to look like first. Mm-hmm. Or I need to identify what that's going to look like.
And healing takes time, period.
Oh, totally. It
just does. And like you were saying, you know, everybody's different. Healing takes a different amount of time for everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm curious what you think about the whole letting go of the past concept.
Yeah.
Because personally, I believe that, yes, there are certain things that will hold us back if we don't let go. However, the wonderful, good experiences that we have with men from the past that maybe just didn't work out, not because it was a horrible relationship, it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
I believe in not cutting that cord, because what it does for us is it made another chamber in our heart. It raised our heart. So you do want that. You want to keep that with you so that it's a bar that you set when you are dating again, and you're dating and you're thinking, okay, do I feel as much or more for this new guy as I did before? Not comparison in, you know, that way, but just, this is what I deserve. This is what feels amazing. I know I'm capable of feeling this, and I want to feel it again.
Yeah. My philosophy on that is similar to yours. I feel like every situation in our lives is collecting data, especially in the dating. I call that like the data collections. And so with that being said, I feel like if we collect the data, we can take the lessons, and the lessons might be feel good moments, and leave those experiences, because there is a very fine line that some people, if they haven't got to the healing spot, they will hold on to those past experiences that are good and be sizing them up. But definitely, I feel like we have to use those good moments. And even the moments that weren't so good is just for data. It's just data collecting to understand what we don't want, but not holding on to it so that we can be in this present moment here and now. We learn about ourselves in those moments. We can't just forget all of our experiences, but there is something to be said. I understand the letting go concept, but it's much more complicated. It's much more, maybe not complicated, but more intricate in just let it go.
Oh my God.
Just... You're like, sorry, but this is really something that's happened. I'm having these feelings. Address it, love it. But I understand that idea of an open hand is the one that can receive. Mm-hmm. So whether you're holding on to something negative or holding on to something positive, are your hands open enough to receive the good that's in front of you?
There is such a fine line, you know, with letting go of the past, with being able to be present for the purpose of being present. You know, we were just talking about that, so that we can create our future and manifest our future. Mm-hmm. So there's such a fine line, because what we're talking about here is, yes, the data. Take these wonderful feelings and the wonderful positive experiences with us. Also, what did I learn from the negative, challenging experiences? And that's somebody who is awakening and somebody who is evolving and growing, someone who is conscious, who can look at those experiences, and instead of letting them define you, you look at them and you say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from them? And then you take that beautiful gift along with you to me, and it makes you even stronger.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And that is a beautiful gift. It may not, I remember when I went to therapy, the first indoctrination into therapy after the second divorce. And I had to hold the mirror up and look myself in the face and say, I can't keep pointing the finger at these womanizers, so to speak. Oh, he's a dog or he's a womanizer. Mm-hmm. I had to look myself and go, why did I allow that type of person within my aura field? Like, how did they even get close to me? Like, you know?
And then he stayed. How did I allow him to stay?
How did I let this person stay? And that was where I felt the healing was for me. The healing wasn't in the avoidance or, you know, talking about the guys I was with. The healing was, what would I do different? And how could I change this? And how do I view myself in order to keep taking this garbage, so to speak.
Yes, we are constantly co-creating our lives. We are constantly manifesting everything that happens around us. And it's how am I showing up? How was I showing up that I allowed that relationship to happen or to manifest this man? And then for him to stay around for a long time and me sleeping, not being awake to really see what was going on and allowing it to occur. And that it could be, this is, first of all, it's very human. Okay. Most people go through relationships at some point that they look back and they're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
So it's very human. But it's very real. So looking back, it makes so much sense. Like, how did I allow it? But then, okay, I forgive myself. I was doing the best that I could.
Oh yeah. Give yourself grace. I knew what I was doing. It was honestly not wanting the shock. I didn't want the shock for me, the shock that I had when I found out my dad had twin boys, that shock, the shock of this perfect, my dad was great at every single track meet, having me work out with world renowned, you know, trainers and just there and present and family vacations and, you know, dinner at the dinner table, mom and dad on a regular, as far back as I could remember. And that, then to find out I have these twin brothers, that shattered my world, my ideal. And so I didn't like the surprise. I didn't like that jolt of the surprise of the letdown. So it was almost, and this is me psychoanalyzing after the fact, ladies, everybody listening, just know, but I didn't want that shock. And so it was easier for me to know what I was getting into. Like I saw it, I knew it. There were signs. This was never a moment of, oh my goodness, I didn't know. He totally flipped the switch, you know, right, on those previous relationships.
But I feel like also you were in defensive mode. You were constantly waiting for the shoe to drop. When is he going to drop this shot? Because it was like, there's something in the spiritual world called some people call it samsara, which is crystallized energy. And that energy was stuck in you. And because you hadn't looked at it yet.
Nope.
And so you were constantly, it sounds like, in fear mode.
Yeah.
Waiting. And also, I think that maybe you were with these guys because you knew that they couldn't really turn into something anyway. So you were protecting yourself or something. You knew it was going to end.
Well, I married two of them. So, I mean, I knew it was going to end, but I did, you know. It's just like, I feel, you know, as you say that, that resonates. I do think that that's what was happening. And I can tell you it was that fear all the time. Like what text am I going to see pop up on the phone, or whose voice message am I going to overhear? Or, you know, now I don't even, I mean, that stuff doesn't even cross my mind, to be honest with you.
And then do you see how you were making those things a self-fulfilling prophecy? Because
totally.
You're focused on them. Because the universe gives us what we focus on. You were focused on the fear, and so it gave it to you.
100%.
That was
the hardest thing. That was the hardest thing for me to accept. And in the past, and I feel like I'm coming out of it now, it was one of the hardest things to tell my clients. I think because we all want to, most people go to absolutes. You know, like, oh, I did this to myself. What are you talking about? And then they want to go to the most horrible situations, whether it's a major trauma that has happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to explain those situations that happen, you know, the bad things that happen in the world, and be like, oh, that kid called this to happen for themselves. Like, I don't know how to explain that, but I can 100% tell you, in my situation and in situations with relationships and your personal choices and your money and your finances, which are directly related to that, love, you name it, we can really say that your thoughts created these actions, and, you know, that created the situations that we're continuing to live. Where we are living in this moment is the direct harvest of our thoughts and beliefs that we've had previously.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we planting in this moment today?
I feel like I want to give this like an amen, like a hallelujah.
Yeah, seriously. but it was a challenge for me too. That was one of the hardest for me back then. Now I accept that. Mm-hmm. But explaining it can be sometimes a challenge. I explain it anyway, so it's not a challenge in explaining it. But when the conversation comes up about those horrible, traumatic things that happen in the world, I can't reconcile. I don't know. That's all I say is I don't know.
And sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't need to know. We don't need to know everything. But what we can do is we can trust. We can trust that there's a reason for everything.
Yeah.
And that it couldn't have happened any other way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think even like every word that we say is already planned out. And we chose. Like, I just planned that out. Before we came to this earth, we chose everything. We chose our parents, we chose our experiences. And speaking, I mean, this is a totally different show, but speaking of, because you were talking more globally, maybe Viktor Frankl, he's a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with him. He wrote a beautiful book that really helps from like a spiritual point of view, how, why, how, etc. And then there's a woman, I can't remember her name. She's an author and she was also a Holocaust survivor, and how she made that choice to turn her life around. And I've had so many people on this show, just like you, I haven't had that lady on my show, but there's this man who actually I would love you to meet. His name is Michael Unbroken, who trauma survivor. And we always talk, I love talking about this topic. Everybody has a choice at some point. Yeah. You have your choice. You can go and make things even worse. You can stay the same, or you can make things better. And you did. And that's what you're helping people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make those choices. Choose you.
Absolutely. Cause when we are, we're whole, we're fulfilled. Then we
give. Yes. And we can pour from the overflow that's in the saucer that the teacup sits on, rather than this empty teacup we're trying to splash love or fun on people. And it's like, no, pour into your teacup, let that overflow, and then let's give it to others. And you'll have more to give.
I like that you said teacup and not, it's usually your glass of wine is like overflowing. Tea. It's very nice. It's nice, like, I don't know, more conservative way of looking at things.
And I don't know what kind of saucer my glass of wine would be sitting on. The only overflow is me drinking it. It will never overflow my glass of wine.
Because you just drink. Okay, so let me see. I have some notes here, but what else do you think is important to talk about before we wrap things up and you tell people how they can find you, etc.?
I feel like whenever I'm speaking, I try to remind people of that power that they have inside of them, that I consider myself not as the guru per se, but the person to excavate the thing that's inside of them that's going to get them to where they want to be. And so if someone's seeking and wants to know how to do something, I do this. Yes, we should reach out to people who've gone before us, but we also don't want to discount our intuition. I don't want them to discount their own intuition. And they know best. They have spent the most time with themselves. You know, when you go and you hire someone to help you and coach you, we've known you for those 10 minutes. And we can use our intuition, because I do let that be my guide, because I'm an empath and I have a lot of intuitive tools that I use in my practice. But my objective is for the people that hear my voice or I come across to understand the power they have to make those changes in their life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could not agree more. Like, our job is just to help people navigate. We help them navigate their own journey. And everybody already has the tools inside that they need. It's a matter of accessing it, getting past those barriers that are preventing them from accessing these tools, their authentic self, their empowerment. So I love that. I love
Thank
it.
You.
I agree. Okay, so how can people find you, work with you? Tell us about your anything. Plug away.
Yes. So Love CEO Institute is the name of my company. I believe that love can be looked at from both left and right brain. And so that's what we do in my practice. We teach the love intelligence method, self-care, authentic goals, staying true to yourself so that you can really fully enjoy life and design the life that you want. And so loveceoinstitute.com and Natasha McCray. I'm Natasha McCray everywhere. That's McCrea. So on Instagram, Twitter, but also on my website. And I would love to connect with all of you. If you have any questions for me, I have a button called Ask Natasha on my page where you can put any questions in there regarding love and dating. And I'll make sure that I answer them on my 7-minute motivation that I do every Monday.
Mm, so you do a live? Like an
idea. Yeah, I do a live. Okay. I do a live on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with people one-on-one over
Zoom?
Okay.
I do work with people one-on-one over Zoom. I love private coaching. I get a front row seat to see people's lives just blossom. Like, that is so, I was working with my coach and my coach is like, you still want to do with all the things I'm doing? I'm launching a whiskey brand. I'm an actress. And they're like, okay, do you still want to do private coaching with what you're, you know, with all the things you're doing? And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm allocating. I have a block of 5 to 10. That's it, that I will do private coaching. So it's like five, you know, private coaching slots that are open. So I love private coaching. It just feels good.
And I get that question also. And my answer is always, I will be doing this work until I die, no matter what. All the creative, mm-hmm. like the, I'm writing a book, I'm making a documentary at some point. I'm doing all these different things, podcasts. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's how I started. Yeah. Although I was mm-hmm. an actress when I was little, I was never a professional actress. I mean, there's so much joy and it's so yeah. rewarding to help somebody change their life like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you so much. And as everybody knows, you can always reach me very simply at therelationshipexpert.com. So Natasha, thank you for joining us.
I had such a great time.
This was so great. You'll have to come back again because there are so many more topics that we could discuss. It was so great to have you today. Thank you. And thank you everybody for joining us. Join us every week Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific on Love Talk Live, Ally Talk Radio. Thanks so much. Bye everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.